Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we are going to, I think, take the whole podcast to kind of answer a question or a topic that was brought up in the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group.
Whoa.
Normally with a Q&A podcast.
And no tangents, I'm sure.
No, I'm going to start with a tangent.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me get to the tangent. Normally with a Q&A podcast, I'm like, oh, let's do, you know, this question and then, you know, in part one and
right.
this question
no,
part two.
That,
but
right.
I think we'll have a good bit to talk about. My little tangent is that after I mentioned Lumi deodorant, my tangent is that people love our tangents, okay?
Yeah.
I've no longer be
so we
insecure
have,
about
we
them.
Have,
what?
What would you call them? Tangent followers?
Yeah.
Like tangent.
Oh, sorry.
Like,
I wish I could alliteration.
We're going to think up a name for you. Like,
yes.
Yeah, tangenteers or something.
Yeah, people like them. And then I haven't listened to a lot of podcasts recently, and I just got some time to do it. Listen to Stuff You Should Know, and they go off on all these tangents all the time. So I was like, okay, we're fine. And then, you know, we've got these ads at the beginning of our podcast now that we don't read. You know, they're through an ad platform, and it helps to support the show at no cost to you. And I was, you know, feeling a little weird about them. But then I was listening to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast, and guess who has ads at the beginning of his podcast that he doesn't read?
Yeah.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Right.
So, okay, I'm just not going to feel bad anymore. And then the real tangent that I was going to go on is that I mentioned Lumi deodorant in
right.
the tangent, and several people were like, yes, I love it, I love it. I was like, okay, so I'm not crazy. I'm not, you know, promoting something that not everybody – or that
right.
everyone hates or something, you know? And so
or that's some big farce.
yeah, exactly. That, you know, I'm
right,
not,
right.
You know, promoting something that doesn't actually work. And then I bought all the things that you can buy via Loom. I, like, bought their soap, bought some wipes, I bought my deodorant refill, like, bought everything. So it came the other day. So one of you, you know, we use recycled packaging when we pack our orders. One of you is going to get your order in this Loom box, in this Loomy package. So it could be your lucky day.
You're going to get a Loomy bag. Now, the,
Loomy
the
package
packages
no Loomy
I'm recycling are like casters for my drawers that went under my bed. So, yeah.
Somebody one Not time exciting. Got a box that had like a toy train in it originally. Anyway, okay. Let's get to Lauren's question. Lauren says, is couture-ish sewing possible with knit fabric garments? I doubt much work could be done by hand, but I'm curious if there are any techniques that would make a knit garment more high-end and last longer than something I quickly serged all the seams together on. Literally, the only thing I can think of is French seams, but those could be bulky with some knits. I should probably clarify that I'm talking about making very basic types of knit garments, basic dresses, tees, but in a way that's meant to last and be well finished. So I feel like the way, I don't know if you would respond this way, but my first reaction is just like, like, who cares? You know,
mine's not quite that.
My reaction on Facebook that like people could see is I said, you know, serged seams are more appropriate for garments where the seams need to stretch because the stitch is knitted instead of a lock stitch like a sewing machine. We've brought this up a lot, right?
Right.
And then I said, the idea that a serged seam is of less quality than a French seam on a knit is sort of a false equivalency, is what I said. I have more thoughts, but that's what I initially said.
Okay, well, years ago, when sergers finally became popular, so let's say 95-ish, maybe this was. We talked about this on actually a woven garment that was like a sheer.
Yeah.
So what you used to do is you did a French seam
mm-hmm.
on a sheer.
Right.
Right? And we were talking about this, and was it less couture to, you know, make your seam then serge.
Yeah.
And serge it together, maybe.
Right.
Because you're going to see through, right?
You're going to see through it, yeah.
And then we would stitch it down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the thought was it was almost a prettier look.
Because it like laid
right,
flatter.
Right. We took what we did is we took all of these sheer fabrics.
Yeah.
And we like made all these samples. Mm-hmm. And the set and sleeve really looked nice being serged.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it couture because it's done the old fashioned hand sit down way that a machine didn't used to do it? Or is it couture because you've taken your time and it's you've worked on that garment and you've made it, you know, as nice as you can?
Yeah, so I
what
just,
makes it couture?
Right. Here's the deal. It's like you could probably speak with several different people who are, you know, heads of couture houses and come up with different answers for what the word couture, you know, really means. I mean, couture means haute couture.
Right.
Literally means like high sewing.
That's all it means. High sewing. Yes.
And so let's just like be a little honest here about like the fact that this is a branding thing that is used to like sell stuff. Okay.
Right.
Right.
Somebody tells you it's couture, so you're not even going to pay more.
And nowadays,
I guess, you know, I know. And I think I know kind of where she's coming from because
right.
I did not make fast fashion
mm-hmm.
when I was first sewing, right?
Right.
I made, you know, I would make a wool suit that I wore for 10 years, right? I
yes.
mean, I would make garments that I wore forever until they, you know. And I did do, you know, Hong Kong finishes and, you know, hand-picked zippers or whatever I needed to do to make it look,
I just,
know.
This is something that kind of, like, grates on me a little bit, okay, is people will be like, people will, like, moralize about it. They'll be like, well, this garment has hand-sewn French seams and this, that, and the other thing. And so it's, like, better than the other garment that someone made. And then we got Mona said, so what I said about, like, the French seam and the serged seam, like, you know, being a false equivalency. She says, it seems to be a very common idea. Oh, she says, Mallory, that seems to be a very common idea nowadays. I read in sewing groups every week that people seem to think that you can't make activewear on or anything with stretch fabrics without a serger and cover stitch. I sew lots of activewear on a normal sewing machine. I have never had any problems with it, and I run marathons in my handmade stuff. Also, serge seams make bulky seams that can chafe on tight-fitting clothes. And so, like, that's not what I said. I said, Mona, I'm not saying you need a serger. I'm saying that serge seams are not low quality.
Right.
Because I feel like Lauren says in her post, she says, you know, what can I do to make it better than just something I serged together? And I'm like,
right.
Okay.
Like serging is fast fashion or, you know, because it's sewing and finishing the edge at the same time, less?
Mom, yeah. Okay, in that book, Dressed, have you read it? I don't know if you read it. I read it, and it's about fast fashion.
Right.
And the author, I think, really miscategorized the serger. And I think I try to clarify this a little bit with Mona, too. The author said, this paragraph is burned in my memory.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you can see in retail, now they're using sergers that sew and finish at the same time. And I'm like, no, that's not the only reason. It's not like they were trying to skip a step on a knit garment when you use a serger. It's a good, durable, serged
seam is knitted, so you are using the same type of mechanism. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've got a knit fabric and you're doing a knitted seam.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, I guess if you went into the store and you saw some, you know, thing that should, which,
oh,
how many times have we talked about this on the podcast?
Hey, I've seen woven fabrics.
Right.
Right. Where somebody's taken some sort of serger type machine ready to wear. I don't know. And it looks like crap. The seam looks like crap before you wear it.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, there's no excuse.
So, I guess, like, Lauren, I don't want you to feel insecure about a garment that you have serged together. Like, it's not bad. And also, you say, I think couture nowadays is also being used in a way that it was not originally meant to be used, in the fact that it's like durable and made to last forever. I really don't think that was the point necessarily of high fashion houses in the beginning, but that it's a fine, you know, I get it.
I think
a serged seam
is durable. I really go back to what you said about marketing though.
Yeah.
Putting that couture in there means you're going to pay more. It's special. It's more special than the one you can get over here. You know, it has to come from us. That
yeah.
kind of thing.
And so your serged seam on your knit garment. Okay, we've talked about this so much about the three-thread
right.
narrow that we wear and wear and wear
right.
and wear those clothes. And totally, if you think some people, you know, may have a sensory issue where the serge seam doesn't feel good. Of course, do something about that.
Well,
you know,
and
I
sort of challenge her on that. Sewing machine seam is less bulky than the serge seam.
I think it can.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Or a cover stitch seam, because it's not.
I think you can do
a flat felt seam. I mean,
right.
there's all these, you
all
know,
these things.
You can't be that general about it.
Well, and you've talked on the podcast, you know, I mentioned this in the Facebook thread. I was like, ZD sewed on knits before sergers were in the home. You can.
Absolutely.
You can do it on a sewing machine.
Absolutely.
Now, we love our sergers, and we get people who ask about sergers, so we want to share our serger knowledge, you know. But it is, you know, it isn't the first machine you buy, necessarily.
Right. Well,
you know?
Then there's also a difference between a serged seam
uh-huh.
and a serged edged finish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if I'm serging the edges of my woven garment
right.
as a finish...
Mm-hmm.
That's not a seam.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
my seam is on my conventional machine.
Right.
And my finish is on my serged machine.
I also, you can also, some people make some bulky seams on sergers.
Okay,
so they don't have to be that
what's
bulky.
What's going through my mind's eye at this moment, right,
yeah.
is the way we used to have to finish seams.
Yeah.
Okay, on a woven. My favorite way. Okay, to finish a woven seam was to actually just stitch a quarter inch away from the edge, okay?
Yeah.
With a really tight stitch.
Straight stitch.
Straight stitch,
yes.
Absolutely. I tied because it laid flat,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it didn't add anything to the seam.
Right.
You know, it just was the most.
And you know how ZD doesn't like her bulk, right?
That's right. I mean, it was like the minimal thing you could do. And it took me a while to figure this out because
yeah.
I went through, you know, the shears. The
pinking shears.
I went through trying to overlock on them with the sewing machine,
uh-huh.
you know. And I got down to, no, I just like that straight stitch because I got a nice flat seam. Now, a Hong Kong finish is absolutely gorgeous, right? It adds bulk.
Yeah, it's
okay,
sure.
Okay, you got to think about what you... Now, it's perfect on, like, a loosely woven wool
right.
or silk that's bulky. But, you know, when you get down to, say, making a cotton dress,
right?
I liked that plain, just away from the edge, straight stitch. And that was tight enough. And these were garments I laundered, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We also ironed them.
right.
Right? But if you... go to look at a finished garment now. I don't know if you want to call these couture. I don't know what, but I'm talking about a garment, maybe a Prada or what else? What else do we have in this house that I have?
Escada.
They're serged, people. The finishes yeah. are serged because it's the prettiest. It's the least bulky.
It's fast. It is fast.
And it's fast.
And there's
it works.
Yeah.
It works.
So I think we should take a little break and come back. And I think that people offered some really cool responses in case this person did want to explore this person, Lauren. Maybe I'll just call her Kathleen for fun. I actually have a friend named Kathleen. So it, you know, instead of me just being like, ah, don't worry about it, Lauren, just serve those seams, you know, then people offered up some cool ideas that I think are worth considering.
Well, and I think you make it to suit you and your standards.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so let's take a quick break. ZD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your thigh.
Or your head.
Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if I'm, and this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will
right.
be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers, or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure from the zero end.
Yes.
Right. Right. And I said 60, but you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So you've got...
you have imperial, and you have metric.
Metric, right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself, and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one. Because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where
you want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
And we're back. Okay, real quick, before we get to the wonderful tips that people put on Facebook, I feel like a lot of times in the serger discussion, privilege, economic privilege gets brought up a lot, which is very valid. Not everybody can afford to have, you know, two machines, three machines, you know, cover stitch machine, et cetera, and that's for sure. But sometimes we also need to be sensitive to the fact that sometimes these tools allow people to sew who couldn't otherwise sew.
Right.
And,
or make a living.
And I also, like, I understand that still there's a cost associated with them, but it's also a time thing. Like, is this other person's garment not as good as yours because they didn't have, like, 17 hours to sew a knit dress by hand? So, like, don't get stuck on that, or, you know, it's not just because someone suggests something or because we say that, like, we love sergers doesn't mean we expect everybody to go out and buy a serger,
right,
you know, or something. But, like, I don't know, like, I guess we all need to, like, check our privilege when we're talking about privilege a little bit, too, because I have seen it go both ways. You know, people are like, well, you shouldn't.
Like, you use the surgery.
Yeah, you use the surgery. That's
you
right.
You don't know how to do it on your other machine or what.
Oh,
you know,
well, you spent so much money to get that needle threader. Okay, well, this person is, like, legally blind, and the needle threader lets them sew. You know, I've really seen some snobbery
other thing, too, is, you know, we often purchase and invest in what we want to purchase and invest in.
Yeah.
You know, somebody with a very high-end sewing machine might be driving a 12-year-old car.
Man.
Who would that be?
No, it was a...
you know?
Yeah.
I mean...
I'm not driving, guys. I think my car's totaled. We hit a deer.
No, the deer hit you.
The deer...
I think the deer hit
I mean, a lot of people were like, okay, sorry. A lot of people are like, oh, well, the deer. I was like, we're all okay. And they're like, well, the deer's not okay. I'm like, yeah, the deer. Okay. You're right.
We didn't go out that day to hit a deer.
I didn't ride at the deer. Okay, but anyway, I'm driving a Cadillac right now, rented. so maybe I will have a nice car
for 10 minutes.
Yes,
she's gonna have a nice car for 2 days.
But you're right, though. Yes,
but no. I mean, I can remember people, you know. In selling sewing machines, I can remember other people selling sewing machines and go, well, she drives a Mercedes. I don't know why she didn't buy the la-da-da. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because she wanted the other machine.
Yeah.
Obviously, this woman knows what she wants. She wants to drive a Mercedes, and she wants to sew on that particular sewing machine.
Or
that's what she wants.
Yeah. Well, you just don't know. And yeah, I've seen it in our own group where it's like, oh, that person has an expensive sewing machine, so they can't, I don't know.
It means they can't sew, supposedly,
no,
or whatever.
No, or they can't, or they just must have so much privilege that they are invalid in some other way.
You know,
Mallory
and I have delivered really expensive sewing machines to people's homes. You never know what that house is going to look like.
Yeah.
I am telling you.
Yep.
It's like from, you know, sticks in the mud to a palace.
Yep.
You
never
know. You do not know what that house is going to look like.
You don't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. Stop.
It's their business.
Stop it. Yes. So stop judging someone's, you know, garment that they couldn't spend 16 hours on because they had to, like, you know, go work to, like, support their kids, and they're really glad, okay, I'm going to invest in the serger so that I can whip out these T-shirts for my kid who has trouble fitting into clothes. Whatever. Just, like, everybody calm down, including me. Okay, so people had some really good, like I said, I tended to just brush this off a little bit, you know. But one thing that people said is that you can do, like, some top stitching if you like that look. Some people really like a top stitch neckline.
Right.
I'm not personally like super into top stitch necklines, but
it just depends. It depends on the garment. It depends on the fabric.
Right.
It depends on what I'm.
But you know, there are some things
like.
I'm like, I do this on almost every garment, and that's not one of them. Mm-hmm. But this Amanda recommended. She says I think top stitching adds a lot. And she shared a link to, you know, top stitching on a neckline. And then Yvonne, I thought this was a really nice tip. She says, for me, the couture hat comes on when it comes to pattern matching. And good.
Even matching,
yeah.
Yvonne, but sometimes placement.
Sure.
Like you don't want two rosebuds on your rosebuds, mm-hmm, or whatever. I mean, sometimes remember there was a dress you made one time. It was when you were early sewing.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe not that early.
It was. I mean, it was, you know, you were still, like, I think, you know, wearing training wheels sometimes.
Yeah.
And she was so excited about this dress, and it really, she did an excellent job. And a couple days later, I waited, and I said, you know what would have probably made this perfect? And she's like, what? And I said, you should have centered.
The repeat.
The repeat. because it, you know, it wasn't off enough to look like it was purposefully off, and it wasn't centered enough to look like. Now, sometimes I like it off. I like it wacky.
Sure, you know. No, but this was like.
And she was like, oh, yeah.
And you think about it, you know? And I, you know, because it wasn't something I was going to match. It was too busy.
Right, right.
But I didn't, you
it
could.
It was a floral.
Yeah, it was a floral that sort of, it looked like bunting.
Looked like wallpaper.
Like, it did look like wallpaper. To me, yeah. But, you know, I like swags of floral, and I didn't center the swags.
Right.
I'll always remember that. Now, of course, in case you don't know about this, Alabama Channon, do you remember, Natalie? Do you remember? This was so huge. It's all about hand sewing knits. It's the reverse applique with the, I know you've seen this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you are looking to hand sew some knits, explore the world of Alabama Channon.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is all their thing. And they sell, like, stamps and stencils to do their reverse applique by hand on knits and stuff. So if you are really hankering for like that hand sewing activity or hands, you know, if that's kind of what drew you to couture, because then that discussion happens on the thread where people are like, couture doesn't just mean hand sewn, you know. And so, but if that's what sort of drew you to the couture thing, check out alabamachannon.com and dive into that world. You know, I thought that was going to be a little more flash in the pan than it has turned out to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really stuck, stayed popular, you know, a lot. So I really liked the suggestion about, you know, choosing your patterns in terms of the prints or however the fabric's knitted.
So do we know? You called her Kathleen, and now I can't think of her name.
Lauren.
Lauren.
And Lauren Kathleen.
No, I can't think of Lauren. It's my best friend.
If Melissa's
name.
Listening, yeah. Melissa Kathleen.
Oh, uh-huh. So I guess I'm still kind of, what does Lauren want? What is she, tell me what she wanted
again.
Well,
I don't know. Well, okay, here's the other thing. She said she's making basic dresses and tees in a way that's meant to last and be well-finished. You know what I think can make a knit garment last longer? If it is a dress, maybe not quite on a t-shirt, but actually putting a closure in it so that you don't have to like stretch it out of shape to put it on yourself. I love to wear and make knit garments that are sort of, what do I want to say? Drafted or designed almost like woven garments.
Right.
So there's not like a ton of negative ease.
Right.
Maybe it's just like kind of like the zero ease.
And I do too. Wear very fitted knit garments.
It's like
I don't wear like I generally wear a fitted knit garment, oftentimes like with a princess seam or with a dart
like
or
some element of tailoring that shapes it outside just the side seams. So if you have actually, Cashmere's kind of nice because for this, because they have darts in some of their like knit sweaters and stuff because they're accommodating a large bust.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, if you want to do high sewing, make sure you use quality thread. Make sure you use quality needles. Okay.
Amen.
And you probably should have a decent sewing machine. It doesn't have to be the best one in the world or the most expensive one.
Your needle and your thread is going to make your biggest difference.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is there are some really low-end machines that will just chew for you.
They just make it hard.
I mean,
they do make it hard.
I mean, you do have to have a decent set of feed dogs.
Right.
You do have, you know.
Testing your seam, too, so that it looks.
Yes.
Like. Test it out
yes.
so that you can find every fabric will be different.
Every fabric will be different.
You're sewing on a sweater knit versus a ponte versus a this or that or an activewear. Do, you know,
and
test
I mean,
that.
Obviously the fabric you use is going to make a difference too.
And that's
the quality of it.
That's what someone said here.
Right.
The quality of your fabric. If you do make a t-shirt or a dress, we've talked about this on the podcast before, and you want a finish that looks more couture. If you have a closure or B, a neckline that's large enough that you don't have to stretch, you can bind it with a woven. And then that really does incorporate more classic elements of what we think of as couture, since those techniques sort of originated on woven. So like a t-shirt with a silk bound neckline.
Yep.
That sounds couture-ish to me. I don't know about you.
Well, that was right? sort of my signature thing for a while. Yes. Yes. And I would finish all of my necklines on with a woven bias that was usually a stripe.
A stripe. Mm-hmm. Right.
So that was a big thing for me there for a while.
Yeah. So it's like,
you know, those t-shirts I still have, do you know how old they are?
And they're old.
They're certainly older than your daughter.
Yeah.
They're Catherine.
Oh, yeah. They're 10.
They're like they're Catherine's
10.
Age.
Well, she's 16. She'll be 16.
She'll be 16. Yeah. I mean, they're like 14, 15 years old.
So you could incorporate, you know, what when people talk about how to sew with knits, a lot of times we're talking about like preserving the stretch.
Right.
Okay, we're talking about activewear. We're talking about swimwear, which has negative ease to stay close to the body right. a lot of the time. Well, if you want to flip the script a little bit and make garments that aren't that don't have a lot of negative ease, you get to treat them a little bit more like a woven garment,
right.
which could lend itself to some of those techniques you may
think
of.
And then there's also stabilizing some seams, like the shoulder seam. You know, if you have a waistline seam of some sort that you are wanting to preserve.
Yeah.
So you need to think about the seams that you don't want the give
in. Someone brought that up. So actually, I didn't even think about it. You just taught me to do this with t-shirts. Like, I just would never even think to not do this. Putting the ribbon, we don't particularly enjoy the clear elastic, putting the ribbon in the shoulder right. seam of the t-shirts to preserve the shape.
Well, you know, my latest thing is to use the little leftover pieces
like
of the power mesh. Yeah,
yeah,
that's my latest thing.
Yeah. That's nice. And
it's
once
been
again,
really nice. I like
low on the bulk, right? Like, and
yep.
that stuff is like smooth and soft.
Yeah,
and
no, it's
good stuff.
It's like really good.
It's like
yeah.
buttery.
No, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have felt like high end garments that I've shopped for that are stretchy, but that don't have a lot of negative ease that they,
mm-hmm.
but like, I don't know.
You know, another thing that couture people do is they put hangers or hanging loops in their clothing.
Yes.
So if you plan on hanging your knit,
mm-hmm.
you don't hang it from the shoulders or wind up with a shoulder bump because
mm-hmm.
there's a hanger. So, you know, they will have literally some sort of hanging
system.
Structure
yeah.
in them. Yeah.
yeah.
And, you know, they don't hang it from the top. They hang it from, like, the
waist.
You know, right. These hangers go to the waist and they may thread up through.
Well, you know, when
you're
like hand knitted stuff, you're not supposed to hang that stuff
right.
up. Right.
Like, most of the stuff you're supposed to roll.
Yeah.
You know,
roll it up.
It reminds me of they were doing Camelot at the Lyceum Theater, right?
Uh huh. Oh, well.
I just thought of some other things about it. But anyway. And Dennis sends me all this fabric ahead of time. So this is a summer stock theater, right? And the one costumer, he sends me all this fabric ahead of time, you know, and he says, we're going to make all of Guinevere's dresses are going to be out of this stuff. And it's going to be this, you know, dress, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm not sure this is a good idea. And this was what? How long ago was that?
This is 20 something.
This is
20
something. So, yeah, all these knits were new, and you know. And I said, I think this is going to be too stretchy. I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to lose its shape.
Uh-huh.
No. It'll be sleek and perfect and blah, blah, blah. And it's, you know, we knew the actress and all this. Well, they turned out great. And then they got hung up.
Oh, no.
I kid you not, the neckline was almost to her navel the next day. These knits were like so funky woven. They were beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had a lot of Lorex in them. So here we are, like remaking them. And we rolled them every night after that.
Yeah.
We rolled them up.
You can.
Yep.
You can try and like get them wet and block
yeah,
them again.
I mean,
know?
It was, but I mean, literally the neckline grew like 6 inches.
Yes.
I mean, it was like unbelievable.
Maybe that's another little, you know, just equation. Like you said, putting the hangers in.
Right.
Okay. Man, as we've talked about, you know, laundering, caring.
Right.
For
laundering.
Your clothes.
Right.
Will just help them last longer. That's not a, I don't know, that's not a couture technique that someone might think of, but.
Okay. You want to talk about snobbery garment or people
sure.
or whatever.
Sure, do it.
This is an experience I just had. went to the bra store.
Okay, if we think other people are snobs,
imagine how
snobby
they are
must
they?
Be. Right, okay. Yeah.
So went to the bra store, a true bra store, right? So all they sell is bras. Well, panties, I guess too, but you know, shapewear,
swimsuits, shapewear. Yeah.
Well, you know,
don't they?
Oh. They were like, we have all these swimsuits, and they were all like. They looked exactly the same, and they had like no two pieces.
You know who
it
doesn't
really
get?
Weird.
You know who doesn't get to go to the special bra store to buy bras is me.
You can go. They have teeny weeny
normal.
They have a teeny,
you know,
itty bitty titty thing or whatever.
Itty bitty titty committee. Yeah. That's on our podcast list.
Itty bitty titty.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
people want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm gonna talk about. I have two stories from here. Anyway, I go in and my sports bra that I purchase, I do not make my sports bras, everybody. I purchase them and I go in and they don't make it anymore. And I knew this because I'd searched and searched all over the internet. They did not make them anymore. And I go in and this woman, you know, she's like, oh, well, the first thing was really weird. She brings me this like 38E and I'm like, and I immediately looked at it and I was like.
Yeah, because mom's like a 30.
Well, I'm a 32.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I left with was a 32E, right? So I have been wearing these bras as my daily bras pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. They're constructed like the frickin' Eiffel Tower. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I mean,
Brooklyn Bridge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. these suckers aren't going to. Well, I wear, you know, I get a high impact bra.
Yes.
Right. It's got underwires, you know. And the thing I really like about them is they've got a nice, good, wide strap.
Wide strap.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a comfort issue. And the other thing, too, is when I bend down, my boobs don't tumble out of the top
cup,
of them.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So they're almost like a bra with a bra over them. The only reason they're a sports bra is they stick some knit over the top of a real constructed bra. Right. But anyway. So as I am paying for my $73 bra,
uh-huh.
The woman says to me, you know, you can't just wear sports bras all the time. And I said, yeah, I know. And then I got on the parking lot and I said to your sister, I can wear
whatever the hell I want.
I can wear whatever bra I want. And when I pay $73 for a bra, I can wear it on my butt if I want to. But anyway, so I just thought it was very funny that I'm sure that that's what they're trained to say, right? Whatever.
Well, who knows? Maybe they're not.
Well,
you know?
I don't know. But I am sorry. I can wear this bra all the time if I want. My boobs are not lacking in support whatsoever from these bras, okay?
Uh-huh.
Nor are they overly confined or whatever. They're just fine, okay? All right. My other story
well,
is.
Was she going to tell you, like, the bra caused breast cancer?
I
or
don't.
Something?
That's what,
like,
I was going to say. Does
that's why you don't ask.
Does the bra have, like, a counter in it?
Yeah, does it have an odometer?
Yeah. I don't know.
Boobometer.
So, anyway, this was. We were trying to make this a trip that was not traumatic for someone.
Yeah.
I have to be careful here. I don't.
Yeah, I agree. Good.
You know.
Call.
Okay.
Call.
So this was a teenager person, okay, who has very large breasts.
Right.
And I was trying to sort of, what should I say?
Well, help them.
Yes. And so I was describing the experience, talking about the experience and all this. And, you know, one of the things I said is, you have every right for someone not to touch you or see you, but you'll probably get a bigger fit if you think of, like,
a better fit, bigger fit.
A better fit.
A better, bigger fit.
A better fit if you have confidence in this person, knows what they're doing, and they're a professional at it,
uh-huh.
Like a doctor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know? That, you know, you let the hairdresser touch your hair and put her hands through it and everything because she knows what she's doing.
Right.
You don't let everybody do that. And I said, so, but, you know, at any time you have the right to say, I'm not comfortable, I'd like to cover up, or whatever you want to say, and nobody's going to think anything of it. And then, you know, we drove a ways to do this. And then I said, you know, I think there's one more thing I might tell you. I think that you're going to be like halfway down the alphabet, okay? So like if they come in and they say, you know, you're a 34I or a J, and I said, I kind of think that's what you're going to be. And she was like, oh. And I said, yeah. I said, I don't want you to be get like sticker shock.
Yeah.
You know, you want the bra that fits you. You don't want to worry about.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the letter is. What the letter says,
right? You want the bra that fits that you feel good in. So anyway, she got two really pretty bras. They had this like blush color one, you know, and had some lace on it. And so she got two. She got that color and she got the black. And when I was her age, when I went to get a bra, they were the most horrible. Well, they didn't even exist for my size because I was an odd size. So, yeah. Of course, they didn't, you know, exist. I must be like in the 1% of sizes, you know, with the band and cup I have. So anyway, you know, we get in the car and she says, guess what? I didn't wear an I or a J. I wear a double H. And I said, oh. I said, I hate to break this to you, but a double H is an I.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, really? And I said, yeah. And then I explained, you know, cup size.
She's not.
It was just, well, but it was just funny.
So she wasn't halfway down the alphabet, but she was like,
close.
At the end of the bra alphabet, like, they don't make an M. Like, they,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, there's no Z, right?
you know. Yeah. Exactly.
But I just thought it was so funny because she was so happy to tell me she wasn't in an I.
Yeah.
You know,
Sorry about that. She says,
I'm a double H. And I'm like, that is an I. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay. Well, I hope that we, you know, hashed out a few things about knit and couture and, you know, make your clothes the way you want to and the way you can.
Right. Well, I think she did the right thing also by asking.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. People saying this would make it couture to me or this, or you might think of this or,
right.
You know, because I don't think, like you said, she could go to the couture houses and they'd all have a different answer.
Sure. You know, oh, we don't do this.
They
or
would
we
all
do
have
that,
a different answer.
Or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So I hope we were helpful. I hope maybe we helped some listeners who, you know, aren't on Facebook. And I loved seeing the conversation there. And, it's great when you all, you know, share your creations and share your questions and everything like that. So, ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.